the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 2nd of December, and you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Well, I'm so sorry about the slight aroma in your studio.
It was today. Like watching seals at feeding time at London Zoo, watching you lot. It was, yeah.
But look how silky and glossy I am.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not surprised with all that herring you were consuming or whatever it was.
Full of omega-3, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do apologise to our studio guests for the alioli, or aioli as it's supposed to be pronounced, that I've consumed.
She fried fish in the studio, listener. She fried fish on her rubbishy show, Scoff and Quaff. I mean, what can you do with her? I'd just finished cleaning everything as well.
The whiting was really, really delicious.
Was it?
Yeah, but I have had a quick sprinkle with some stuff. And we also had chocolate, of course, on the Superior Show.
Yeah, well, you could. It was a day of the week, Jules.
Round it off. Now, who, may I ask, is our show sponsor?
Today's show sponsor is People Face to Face, and big thank you to People Face to Face. They are a training and coaching company transforming working relationships. They do leadership training, they do team building, and they do personal one-to-one coaching. So many, many thanks to People Face to Face for sponsoring today's show.
That would be Trish.
That's Trish Stratton. Yes, it is indeed.
Now,
how did you know that?
Because she has made me, on occasion, a lemon drizzle cake.
Has she really?
Yeah.
Is that part of their team building? lemon drizzle cake?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it was I'm very booking nice. That. That's the kind of leadership I like, lemon drizzle
cake.
Well,
I think she was trying to coach me. It was like the carrot and the donkey.
Oh, I see. She was trying to get you to do things by enticing you with bits of cake.
Definitely worked.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
So, hello to you, Trish, and yes, your lemon drizzle cake is great. She actually did a talk at Kent Business Tweet Up once.
Oh, did she? Yeah. At Lenny's?
Yeah, she did. Roper Road.
And Roper Road, Canterbury.
She did.
Was Dennis there?
Dennis the Menace?
No, Dennis Brophy, Head of Beds.
Head of Beds. He was lounging in a vice spring.
Was he? They're quite nice, those vice springs, aren't they?
You can't get out. They're lovely. I'm saving up for a new one, actually.
A new Dennis or a new bed?
No, a new bed.
Okay.
No, I've had a new Dennis.
Right. I don't think we want to know that.
There's some fantastic, you know, Oliver McNeil is putting out some fabulous pictures of you.
I know.
You polish up quite well with a decent camera.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with an angle and a bit of shading.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I'm just hoping he doesn't get my profile, because I don't really like my profile. And he's on my left, he's flanking me.
So, right, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to ban a little screen I need now.
Oh, right, okay.
So I hear, little bird tells me, that you're giving a very important talk tomorrow, Paul.
I am indeed, yeah. I'm giving a lecture at Birkbeck College at the London School of Economics.
Economics.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about?
I'm talking about corporate social responsibility in small and medium-sized enterprises and their role in the community.
That sounds fantastic. So you were invited to do this?
I was indeed.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What time?
8 o'clock tomorrow night.
And will we be able to see it? Will it be videoed, do you think?
I don't know, actually.
I'm sure it will.
I'm sure it will. Yeah. They might release it afterwards, once the police have let it go.
They might need Oliver there.
They may well indeed, yeah.
I know.
No, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be good.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Right. We'd like to hear from you, though, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the best way to interact with us while we're live on air, as you know by now, is via Twitter. And you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have already had 62 tweets in, and we will read some of those in a moment. But if you'd like to interact with us on the show, please feel free to use any of those ways. But Twitter's by far the best.
Now, we introduced our guests.
No, we tend to introduce them when they're about to speak. But well, I can if you won't.
I think you should. I think it's churlish not to.
Well, go on.
Well, we have on my left the fabulous Sally McDonald from Chaucer Direct, who she is the marketing manager. And they're based in Whitstable, so I should be going to see them. And in the middle, we have Paul Baxter, who's head of Chaucer Direct. And, of course, then we have the fabulous Oliver.
Oliver McNeil.
McNeil, thank you. And amazing.
She's all bothered, listener. She's all bothered with Oliver. Yeah, because he's taking some really nice photographs of her.
My nose gets longer as I get older, Oliver. It's something that happens when women get over 40. Their noses just get bigger. Legend videographer, and honestly, his pictures are fantastic. He's even made Paul Andrews look fairly reasonable, so
that is
very impressed.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Cool. We've had a tweet from Sally Laker.
Don't start reading from the top of the list.
Top of my list. She says, yeah, it's Business Bunker time. Just tucking into... She's having a chocolate cake, I believe.
Is she?
And you know our lovely nurse Liz Gilson from Maryland?
Yep.
She's ready and she's asking if there's any chocolate on the show.
No, she ate it all, Liz.
Superior show, 11 a.m.
Yeah, no, she ate it all, Liz. Thank you for joining us. How's the weather out there in the US on the East Coast? Maybe you'll let us know.
It's raining.
Raining, because last week it was snowing, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I think so. You were better on the geography than anybody else,
yeah,
as well, I remember.
Yeah, whatever. I've had a tweet from Fable and Bass, and it says, Jill Serkin, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, we did it. 104% fully funded today. Fable and Bass were raising money on a Kickstarter program, which we tried to help promote last week. And they go, thank you for all your support. They raised 104% of what they needed. So brilliant. Well done to Fable and Bass. Fantastic stuff. A lady called Tracy Rickhus.
A lady
called Tracy Rickhus, who I believe, for those of you that don't know, on Channel Radio, on Saturday, we broadcast an interview with probably the greatest Doctor Who ever, Mr. Tom Baker. And I think through one form or another, this lady, Tracy, is a bit of a Doctor Who fan. But she also knows one of our guests today, and you'll find out why later when we talk to him. But Tracy has sent an email, a tweet to us saying, Legend Studios, that's Oliver McNeil here, good luck on the Business Bunker show. So thank you for that, Tracy.
Nice to get some new listeners.
Yep. Bridger Howes have tweeted to say that they're listening in. They're a PR company based in Sussex, I believe.
Hello.
And a completely... Oh, I don't know if you remember, last week I was a judge...
I can't remember much past, you know, an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. Last week I was a judge on the Young Enterprise Public Speaking...
Enterprise.
What did I say?
Did you have pies there?
Yeah.
An Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you were speaking.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was judging. They
you were
speaking.
Judging?
I was the chairman of judges for the Young Enterprise public speaking competition for Kent, the Kent finals.
Brilliant.
And it was actually won, and somebody's just tweeted it to remind me, by Mo I've got to try and say this, Onafawaken from Ashford School, and she won, and... there was a young lady whose name completely escapes me now from King's Canterbury that came second. I will find the young lady's name who was the runner-up, and I will tell you in a minute. But well done, Mo. It was a fantastic speech.
Yeah, what was it like?
It was a fantastic speech. She did a speech on the future of retail in the high street.
Oh, very. Well, that's right up my street. So
ha,
to speak.
Ha, ha. Boom, tish.
Was she talking about how shopping habits are changing, or mm-hmm. did she not get into that bit?
No, she did. She did a very good talk about how shopping habits are changing, the impact of online versus high street, mm-hmm. the changing nature of the high street and the different mixed environment that's happening. Mm. And also, it was interesting, the young people, all these people were aged 15 to 18.
Wow, so really young.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is, and it shows you how age ranges go, a lot of them are missing... conventional shops already. So it just shows you where the long-term future is going to be. In a few years' time, we're going to go all retro and bring back shops
browsing.
Because everybody's fed up buying stuff online.
Yeah.
But at the moment, that's not happening. Obviously, we're going in the other direction. But
Myself, I buy a lot online because I can't bear changing rooms.
Can't get up.
I can't bear changing rooms. And I sort of know at my ripely old age what suits me. So it's Monsoon, anything from Monsoon. Fab. Christmas coming, Paul.
You Andrews. Just buy a selection box.
Yeah.
You just ring them up and say, send us a selection box. You know what I want.
Yeah, yeah. Long, yeah. You know, purple things.
Oh, okay.
But I was realising on Scoff and Quaff, really, that the people are avoiding the big supermarkets now.
Right.
And they're tending to hop about and do their shopping.
Right.
So they might pop into Aldi or they might pop into Lidl. And then they might go to their local bakers or the Good Shed, for example, or a little farmer's market. And mix and match rather than just going doing a whole thing in a big hypermarket.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you've only got to look at the reported business performance of some of the bigger and more successful supermarket chains, and they've all been suffering a little bit recently
for
that
Waitrose,
reason. Mind you, it would help if they didn't keep flogging everybody horse meat lasagna and stuff. But
I don't think that's the problem. I think.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But I'll send you a little link on the Waitrose story. I don't know if you've seen
it. Was
that
a cherry pun?
A cherry pun.
A cherry pun. No. A nice pun.
No.
I'm doing puns on buns.
Gosh. We better clip off and do something now, hadn't we?
Get over it. We've had a tweet from Ramsgate Arts and also from Virally, a software company over there in Canterbury, saying that they're all listening in. And as normal, Lee from Ancorians Football Club has tweeted to say that they're listening too.
Hello, Lee.
Ancorians Football Club are a community-based football club over in Medway, Gillingham area. They run loads and loads of teams for all kinds of people. They run ladies' teams, girls' teams, boys' teams, men's teams, special needs teams, and disabled teams. And they were one of the big ambassadors for Kent Community Football. So a big thank you to Lee and all the guys over at Ancorians Football Club for listening in. Thank you so much. I tell you what, George, you can read the email now if you like.
And you'd say that. I was just trying to tweet someone.
I know you were. That's why I told you to read
an
email. You
only do it to annoy me.
I know.
He does it so well.
I will.
UK economy grew by 0.7%, and this is the official estimate of economic output, GDP, and they put the UK GDP growth at 0.7%. In the Q3 of 2014. So that's the third quarter, I think, isn't it, Paul Andrews?
It is.
Q3. Slower than the growth of 0.9%, which was recorded in the previous quarter. Now, this mirrors the latest BCC Quarterly Economic Survey, QES, with the results pointing to an easing in the pace of economic growth, and also the level of economic output in the UK is now estimated to be 3.4% higher than its pre-recession peak in quarter one of 2008. However, despite the slowdown in the third quarter, the UK economy is still outperforming many. Now, I think we need to go on to the Business Bunker show to find out more about this. I'm sure there'll be a little blog about that, won't they, Paul?
There is indeed.
So if you go to 3W's kentbusinessradio.co.uk, you'll find more of an in-depth, there's a chart there that will go with that. I can't read out a chart, as good as I am. But have a look at Kent Business Radio for more. It's very interesting.
If you click on the blog site of the radio website, there must be 50 or 60 blogs there now. We've got interviews with entrepreneurs, we've got past interviews, Gerald Ratner interviews on there.
I love Gerald Ratner.
Yeah, lovely bloke. All kinds of other interesting factoids and things on there. So do have a look.
Kent and Victor Chamber have a networking breakfast meeting. It's involving a full English. It's 8 a.m. to 9:30. And this Thursday, the 4th of December, it's at the Dog and Bear Hotel in Lenham. And Thursday, the 4th of December, it's at the Hollywood Bowl in Rochester. Wednesday the 10th of December, they're at Salomon's Estate in Tunbridge Wells. There's also an after-hours club, which is 6 to 7.30. And for this one, they say there's no need to book. You can just turn up. Their website is 3W's kentinvictorchamber.co.uk.
Cool. Thank you. We've had a tweet from the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway, saying that they're listening in and waiting to hear all the things that are going to unfold from our guests on today's show. Thank you for that.
Well, we've got lots of unfolding.
And we have indeed. Shirley Mansfield, hi, Vanillaware. Good luck for today's Business Bunker radio show. I'm tuning in. And that's from Shirley, Coach SME, and also the author of Grow Your Business. A very, very good business book that I highly recommend you check out.
We had a lovely winner, didn't we, that won a copy?
Three. We had three weeks winners of people that won signed copies of Shirley's book. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you reading that? Are you keeping it to yourself?
Do you want me to read something?
No, I can do it if you like. Online filing for micro businesses is to be improved. Companies House and HM Revenue and Customs, boo, have improved online filing options for smaller companies, or as they now are calling them, micro entities. Since October 2014, improvements made to the existing corporation tax online filing process have enabled micro entities to file simplified accounts with HMRC. The new process will also be extended from mid-November 2014 to enable smaller companies to file basic micro entity accounts online at Companies House. To meet HMRC's criteria for filing simplified financial statements online, companies must have a turnover of less than £632,000 and a balance sheet with assets of £316,000 or less, or an average annual number of employees totaling 10 or fewer. Companies choosing to file basic micro entity accounts with Companies House must meet two of those three criteria. So that is an attempt to simplify things somewhat So if you do qualify for that, I suggest you look into it because it will make your life slightly easier. And considering the growth of micro businesses now in the UK in general is huge, that's going to save an awful lot of time. 4.6 million businesses, 4 million self-employed people in the UK now.
Amazing, isn't it?
I know. And that's where all the employment's coming from as well.
But do you know why I went
65% of all private sector employment is now in companies with less than 10 employees.
Do you know why I went to start my own business?
Food,
apart from the fact I'm unemployable.
Yeah.
It was having children. You know, I just couldn't.
You started a business having children? Wait, you were a surrogate or something?
When I had children.
Oh, I see.
In
sorry.
The 80s.
Oh, I'd be worried for a minute there. Blimey.
When I had children.
On a breeding programme. Oh, no.
He's gone all sweaty. It just didn't work, you know, with kids. You know,
sorry, I've lost the plot here completely.
Well, you'd be going to a meeting, Paul Andrews. I'd be suited and booted, and then yep. The phone would ring, and they'd go, "Hello, Mrs. Serkin, can you come? You know, your child's vomiting. Can you come and collect it?"
Yeah.
And I'd just say to the meeting, "I'm sorry, my kid's being sick. I've got to go." And it just very, very tough out there for parents, really, trying to juggle everything.
So basically, starting your own business stop your kids being sick.
Okay, no, it meant that I can sort of work at night and odd
times. No, I know. I'm just being facetious.
Facetious, you?
Yeah. Do you know facetious is one of only two words in the English language with all the vowels in the right order?
I didn't know that. Yeah, go on, spell it then.
No. I'll tell you what I will do, though.
Play a tune?
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
Don't you know? Didn't you look?
Well, I did, but I've forgotten. Was it Cars?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here in my car.
Yeah.
Cars.
Gary Newman.
I love him.
Where to live, into cars. Here in my If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures. Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk. I'm off my jack, keep your hands
off my stack. Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531 treble 7. Let's work it to the bone, 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 come
on, work. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 2nd of December. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. We're going to talk to our first studio guest now, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker studio Mr. Paul Baxter, who's the head of Chaucer Direct Insurance, based over there in the bubble in Whitstable. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul, and good afternoon.
It's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. Maybe we can start off with you giving us a bit of an overview of Chaucer Direct. Tell us who you are. You're a local insurance company. You specialise in vehicle insurance, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. We're based in Whitstable. Mm. We're relatively small in the motor insurance market. We have about a market share of about 1%.
Right.
And we sell car insurance, van insurance, and insurance for learner drivers, just to cover them while they're learning.
Right.
We're all based in one place, in Whitstable and Kent, and we're proud to be there. And if you look at our website, you can see we try and play on that a bit.
Absolutely. And why not? I mean, it's a fantastic thing. I mean, I happen to know through talking to you and actually dealing with you as a company that you're very keen on customer service, and we're going to talk about that in general in a moment. But it is one of the things that kind of annoys people. And I actually saw some posts on Facebook from a good friend of this show, Mr. Peter Cook.
Oh, yeah, Cookie.
Do you see Cookie? Yeah. Was having a right old rant about an insurance company on Facebook the other day. And it was one of these computer say no jobs. And they basically, he had to make a claim. It wasn't for vehicles. It was his. I won't tell you what he claimed for because it's funny. He made a claim and they basically, according to him, accused him of being a criminal.
You're joking.
No. And what they said is you're gonna flog it later. And he was claiming because his living room ceiling had collapsed. And he was saying, and what part of the plaster am I going to get money for by selling it? And what it was basically whoever was dealing with the claim was just going through a computer checklist and was reading random stuff out there without actually listening to what he was saying. Anyway, enough of that. So
it's because he dances on the ceiling, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have paid him either.
He's a rock star.
He's a rock star, so, I mean, that's probably what brought the ceiling down. But anyway. I want to talk about Chaucer Direct, obviously, and Paul's come over here to talk to us about it. So tell us a bit about the background to Chaucer Direct, Paul. How long have you been going? What inspired you to start up and that kind of thing?
Well, we've been going about 6 years now, selling car insurance on the web and through price comparison sites and through our own contact centre. So in the past, it's been quite difficult for small insurance companies to sell direct to consumers because, you know, you had to spend millions of pounds on TV advertising and all that stuff to build your name up. But what's worked well for us is price comparison sites. So right. we're on all the four big ones, Compare the Market, Go Compare, Confused.com and Money Supermarket. Mm. And what that enables us to do is just to pay for the customers that we acquire right. and to push ourselves and get competitive advantage through service. Because, you know, as you said earlier, Paul, you know, you buy an insurance policy, you know, you don't really get much for it apart from a piece of paper or an email. Mm. And you have to wait and see if you want to claim. And actually, most people don't claim.
Sure.
So customer service is incredibly important because, you know, people intrinsically don't trust insurance companies very well. So if you treat them as a human being, you treat them in a normal way, and you act responsibly, and you know, you pay up claims you're supposed to pay, and you just try and help people, then, well, you're going to get a competitive advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we, you know, as I said earlier, we focus very much on the fact that we are a local company. We're a Kent-based company. We're all based in one office. There's we're all in the same place.
And your call centre and customer support centre are all here as well, aren't they?
Yeah, our call centre's in Whitstable as well, in the same office. So they give great service. We do really well on social media and on review sites, customers writing about us. And also it's important for that we're a good employer and a good part of our community as well. So, you know, we want to recruit people who are, you know, the top of their game. We want to recruit people who naturally want to give good service. And in order to be successful at that and to keep them, we need to treat them well and we need to be good community members. So all of our team get 2 days when they can use themselves to do something in the community.
Okay.
So that might be helpful for your lecture tonight if you're short.
Absolutely.
If you're short of content there, Paul.
Yeah, so a really good corporate social responsibility kind of program you're operating there, and that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff we do is very local. So we operate a boys' reading club at a local primary school to encourage boys to read, because girls prefer reading to boys. So I'll give a plug for the Joy Lane Primary School, and we have some of our team go down there and read with the boys at lunchtime. We do beach cleaning in Whitstable.
That's a brilliant one too. I've seen the little kiddies on the beach there.
Well, these aren't little kiddies, these are our people, so they're big kiddies actually. They're Jules. And we've been cleaning up the Crab and Winkle line as well. So a lot of our corporate and social responsibility stuff is local stuff for us, and that's very important.
Absolutely. And that's fantastic. I want to come back to your core business. You're a car insurer or a vehicle insurer. You do vans and motorcycles?
We do cars, we do vans, and we do learner driver cover. Right, we don't do motorcycles direct.
No, don't blame you. Dodgy stuff.
Motorbikes. Cream vans?
Ice cream.
Nice idea. I do love ice cream vans.
We've got an ice cream war in Whitstable, haven't we? There's a couple of three that scrap over their pitch.
Obviously, you do personal domestic car insurance. Do you do business insurance as well?
Yeah, we do business insurance through our sister company, who sell through brokers primarily. So we do motor fleets and we do commercial vehicles as well.
Right, okay, cool. I want to ask you a question. I've been looking at swapping my personal car to Chaucer Direct, and I was filling out the online quote system on your fabulous website the other day, and it said, "What's your no claims bonus?" And I thought, I don't know. And then it helpfully told me how to find out, which was to look at my existing policy. So I did, and I got 3 years. And I've been driving nearly 30 years and I've never made a claim, and I couldn't work out why that would be. Now, I know you can't answer my question directly about me because, you know, you don't know me and you probably go, well, that's your fault because you're some kind of idiot reprobate or something. But in general, could you just give us a bit of an overview about no claims bonus? Because I'm not entirely sure I always understand anyway.
No, it's a common thing, actually, and there has actually been a review by the Competition and Markets Authority about no claims bonus, and they have come to some conclusions about that as well. It is commonly misunderstood, but no claims bonus is a way that insurance companies reward customers for not claiming, as it says on the tin. So often customers get confused because in order not to claim, you need to not have a fault claim. And fault doesn't mean that you drove into someone or you did something wrong. It just means that you had to claim on your own policy.
Right.
So if someone crashes into your car in a car park, for example, you make a claim, but there's no one else to claim off. So that ends up like that. So you should build up an extra year for each year that you go through your policy without claiming. And that's transferable between insurance companies.
Right.
And then if you have a claim, you don't lose it all. It knocks back a couple of years normally. Different insurance companies do different things, but we knock back 2 years each time, which is fairly standard.
Okay.
Also, for many people, if you've come off a company car scheme, which I think you might have done, Paul, then you can often transfer that from your company car by getting a letter from your fleet manager or something similar, and that will be taken account of. Or we also, we do that, but in addition to that, if you've been driving as a named driver on another vehicle, you haven't had your own policy, but you've been driving without having made a claim, then yes, we'll take account of that and give you some recognition of that as well if you come to us.
Right.
So it is a confusing thing. It is things that often people misunderstand. And if yours is wrong, Paul, what I'd say to you is phone up your insurance company and ask them why, because they should be able to put that right for you.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I realise you can't answer my own personal question. It just intrigued me to actually discover that I didn't have what I thought I had. But there you go. Anyway, I should be moving insurance companies, so it doesn't matter.
I wanted to ask, my nipper's 18 and he passed his test and everything, and he had one of those boxes put in that sort of watches how he drives. Do you do anything like that?
We don't, but they're becoming very popular amongst young drivers because they're popular with parents as well.
Absolutely.
Because they're a way of making sure that your youngster's safe, most of all. And we've actually done some research talking to parents of young drivers, and one thing they tell us, especially parents of girls, that they like to know that if their daughter doesn't turn up, they can actually find her.
Yeah.
Because the car is
you
being
can track
tracked.
Them with the box.
Yeah. You know, maybe some people don't like that so much. There's a little bit of a big brother watching you there, but it's a good way because it rewards the young driver for their driving behaviour. So for primarily for not speeding, for not braking too hard, for not going around corners too fast and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They're also very useful if the customer is unfortunate enough to have an accident. So, you know, obviously if they've got the black box in the car, we know exactly where they are. We can call the emergency services for them if necessary. We don't do that, but that's what insurance companies have been doing.
Absolutely.
And it is becoming increasingly common for young drivers, especially 17, 18, 19 year olds, to have these black boxes in their car.
Absolutely, yeah. My youngest has got one, and it's
they don't
brilliant.
Want to have them, but
no, but actually they do.
One
of the beauties of these things is very quickly for most kids it becomes a competitive thing. The black box that Stu's got gives you rewards if you drive well. Yeah, so it knocks down the cost of your next policy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he has competitions with his mates about how well they can drive and how many extra points he can claim by driving, you know, at the speed limit in the right place and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's turned things around, hasn't it? Because it used to be that youngsters used to boast with each other about how many donuts they can do in the car park or how fast they drive. But now they're boasting about how well they drive, which
absolutely
is great to hear.
Because the insurance is astronomical. When you're 18 and you get your first car, it's high. So they need to be able to bring it. My son's has come down really, really amazingly.
Yeah,
it comes down very quickly as you get older, and it also comes down very quickly as you earn some no claims bonus as well.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing we've been getting involved with recently, we are sponsoring a petition actually to get the government to introduce road safety into the national curriculum at secondary level because it's not in there at the moment, and it's the most dangerous age for people to be injured in a car accident, and we've got a campaign, and it's online. If you look on our website, there'll be a link to it there, and you can find out how to sign that online petition.
Okay, yeah, we'll put a link to that on the Business Bunker website as well, direct to that.
And so that's chaucerdirect.co.uk.
Yeah, a link to the website is there. What we'll do is put a link directly to the petition as well, so you can have both. Oh, that's brilliant. No, you're absolutely right, Paul, about the change in kind of approach to driving and stuff like that. My youngest was somewhat shocked when, having passed his test and tried to get himself put on his mother's insurance, to find that no insurance company would quote for a 17-year-old on an Aston Martin for some bizarre reason.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, the other interesting thing, this is something we do and it's quite unusual, is to try and help youngsters to learn to drive. Mm. So there's often a problem for parents putting their youngsters on their policies when they're provisional drivers. So we have a special policy which you just buy for 1, 2 or 3 months. It's relatively cheap. It's 70, 80, 90 pounds, something like that, depending on where you live, and you just buy it for the period of learning, and it enables you to practice. So
what a good idea. Does anybody else do that? I've not come across that before, I must admit.
There are one or two, but it's fairly unusual, and if you look on our website you'll see a link to getting a quote for that. But what it enables parents to do is to protect their own no-claims discount, because if the youngster does have a crash in the car, it doesn't affect that policy because they're not covered under your policy. They're covered under a separate policy.
Right, okay.
So your own policy keeps running as normal, and you buy this policy from us just to help get them through their test. And it's a difficult time for parents. There's a lot of pressure to get your son or daughter into a car and help them to learn to drive, but it can be incredibly expensive and a bit risky for you.
Absolutely.
The thing is, our transport is pretty dire in Kent on the whole.
Public transport.
Public,
yeah.
So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, what choice have you got, really? Yeah. And the bus fares are not cheap.
Yeah.
No, and if you live in, I mean, I live just outside Lenham, and if you live in the countryside, you don't really have much option, really, apart from driving.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I love that. I love that learner-driver idea for the duration of the learning period as well, rather than having to take it out for a full year or whatever. Because we had a similar, when my youngest was learning to drive, we had a problem, is that he had a car and he had provisional license and he had insurance on the car, and then he went away and left the car at home. So for 4 months he didn't use the car, and he's paying through insurance through the nose. He's not even using it. So no, absolutely, I love it. It's a good idea. No, fantastic. So Chaucer Direct, where do we go from here? You've been going 6 years. You're building a lot of fine reputation and well-deserved reputation for your innovation in some of your products, but more so for one of those things that more and more people spend more and more attention on, which is customer service. Where do we go from here? What's the plans, Paul?
Well, I mean, we're going to continue to focus on customer service. It's one of those things you can never say you're completely there or give up on it.
Sure.
You've got to keep improving on that one. Mm. So for us, we want to continue to do that. We want to continue to build a good reputation online, so to get lots of people writing nice things about us when we give good service. Yeah. So other people often might come onto a price comparison site, see a price from us and like it, but just wonder about, they've never heard of us or they don't know anything about us, so they do a search and find some reviews on something like Trustpilot.com. So yeah, they go on there and they can see what real people have said about us and the way that they have been treated by us.
Yeah.
So this is incredibly important, and it's to me, it's all about two things. First of all, well, three things. First of all, recruiting the right people.
Yep.
We don't recruit anyone because they've got insurance experience to go on the phones. We recruit people because they've got the right attitude to give good customer service.
Absolutely.
We can teach them about insurance. That's no problem, and systems and so forth. The second thing is to train them well and to give them enough time so that they can go, when they are let loose on the general public, they are confident and able to give great service. And the third thing is to reward people for customer service. So most of our incentives are around customer service. And we ask our customers for feedback after every single transaction, so we're able to measure who gives great service and who needs to work on it a bit more. So it's very important for us. We take it very seriously. It's in our DNA. It's part of our culture. It's what we do. And if you speak to any of our team, they all understand that. And they all understand that we're all looking at that. That's not something that's just the contact centre people look at. It's looked at right from the top to the bottom.
Fantastic. That's absolutely brilliant, and we wish you all power to your elbow. It's fantastic having such a brilliant firm in Kent, all to us, in our community. And thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show today, Paul. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you about Chaucer Direct. Do stay with us for the remainder of the show, but for the moment, Paul Baxter, Chaucer Direct, the place for all of your car insurance needs for everyone in Kent now. So do please give them a check out. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Paul.
Pleasure. Cool. I think you can do an email, Jules.
I'll
read a few tweets and then we'll crack on.
Invitation to would that be the Thompson twins by any chance? Invitation to the Thames Gateway Kent Partnership. It's the Winter Business Breakfast and it's on the 10th of December. And they say, please join us for our Winter Business Breakfast, which is hosted by the chairman, Rob Bennett. And they'll be sharing news.
It's not Gordon's brother, is it?
Might be. Is that a footballer?
No, Gordon Bennett.
Yeah, but wasn't he a footballer as well?
I don't know.
Peter Bennett, maybe. There was some... Okay. Who was the famous goalkeeper in the 70s?
Peter Bennetti.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Gordon Bennett, wasn't there one?
Gordon Banks.
Banks, you see? I was close. I know you're of the era. Same really as same sort of Rolf Harris era, really.
Don't
anyway,
start. Just read the emails.
Acting on feedback from our summer business breakfast, we will be focusing particularly on new skills, funding arrangements that affect businesses looking to improve workforce skills, and on steps being taken to simplify business support arrangements. So there'll be lots of updates that you'll be able to hear about here at the Ebbsfleet Garden City, London Paramount, and other key developments. You're still involved with Ebbsfleet?
I was on the Question Time panel for Ebbsfleet, yeah.
Have you got a corner shop set up there and a pub?
No.
All the things
no.
I want. The venue is Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Waterslade Woods, and that's Chatham. That's M for Mother, E59AX. And the website is info@thames-gateway-kent.org.uk. and it's 7:30 a.m. arrival, and it is on the 10th of December.
Cool.
Also, we're saying goodbye to 2014 in style with a computer science maker vibe. This is on Wednesday the 10th of December also, 7:30 in the evening until 9:30 at the Gulbenkian. And they've got a research student called Daniel Knox, and he'll be presenting an overview of the SHED, the University of Kent School of Computing Makerspace, which is equipped with a wide variety of machines and equipment, including 3D printers, laser cutters, Oculus Rift, and Raspberry Pi, PI. This means nothing to me, Paul Andrews.
Is it Raspberry Pi is a small...
It's very tech.
It's a small, low-cost computer that only costs a couple of pounds to buy.
Wow.
It's only about this big.
Raspberry Pi, about that big, listener.
Yeah.
So he's going to explain how the SHED came to life, plus how, by taking advantage of the increasing accessibility of electronics and engineering with a rapid prototyping capability, it also supports new kinds of innovative teaching and learning. And there'll also be another talk by Alan Callahan, who's the senior developer at Global Radio. That's Heart FM, Classic FM, XFM, small channels, you know, not like
us. I know Alan.
Do you?
He used to work for me.
Did he?
Mm.
Well, now he's the senior developer at Global Radio.
Yeah, he's gone down. Gone down in the world since he used to work for me.
And so this is on 7:30 at the Gulbenkian on December the 10th. Quite
cool.
A geeky press release, that, but I got...
Yeah, well, that's...
They are geeky.
It's Digibury. It's Geek Central.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to read a couple of tweets, because I don't want to lose the moment.
No,
because
we've got lots.
These are direct... Yeah, but these are specifically directed at Paul. Let me find out where they are. Hold on a second. Sorry, bear with me.
You know what it's like? The timeline just goes on this.
Yeah. Kent Farmer's retweeted a fascinating talk from the gentleman from Chaucer Direct. Jackie Brooker won. Chaucer Direct, great to hear Paul talking about engaging employees through local CSR activities on the Business Bunker show. Well done, Chaucer Direct. Kent Tweetups listening in. Hold on. Chris Connectit. Chaucer Direct, man after our own hearts. Service, 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 and more service. That's what it's all about. Would he like a job? I think he's got one, Chris, to be honest. And loads more. We'll read them out. And you'll see them because they're on your Twitter timeline as well. We've also had a tweet from Lucy Hall. Terrific Business Bunker show so far today. We're listening in over in Maidstone. Thank you, Lucy. And Connie Nolan from Canterbury Christchurch University has tweeted, please, could you shout out for Twitter user BS Chockbar, Friday the 5th of December is a comedy night, and she's given me a link to get the tickets, which is wegottickets.com event number 299531, or you can get them direct from Bernie. And Bernie has tweeted as
Bernie,
well.
Bernie, do you
Bernie,
remember that?
Now that's Ernie, not Bernie.
No, but I was close.
Yeah. Bernie has tweeted as well, which is lucky, so now we know who he is. And Bernie, you can follow on the Twitter at BA. Chock, C-H-O-C, bar, B-A, Chock Bar, all one word. Follow him on the Twitter and you can book your comedy tickets for this Friday night, 7:30 to late for 8 p.m, tickets £10. And I guess looking at that, that's somewhere in Canterbury. So do check that out if you'd like to go to a comedy night this Friday.
Big hello to KCC Press Office, just following moi, and say hello to them, new followers. And Liz Gilson, who's our Maryland listener, is still waffling on about the Superior Show, the Scoff and Quaff Show.
She's waffling, is she?
Yeah, she's...
That's not a nice thing to say to your one and only listener.
She's probably having a waffle, but because they're big on waffles, aren't they, in America?
Quite possibly.
With maple syrup drizzled on.
Quite possibly.
But she's still talking. We were talking about free houses. She didn't know what a free house was. Pubs.
Oh, I see. Private pub.
The whole
thing. Yeah,
okay. The time has come, Paul Andrews, for a major change in the way organisations are run. Creating more value, innovation, employee engagement and sustainable success. The management shift is focusing on managing people and creating a sense of purpose. How to harness the power of people and transform your organisation for sustainable success. This is a new book by Professor Vladka Chlupik.
It's easy for you to say.
Vladka Chlupik.
Made that up.
I didn't.
Okay.
Lucky we've got the spit frame here on the thing, spit guard. There is a website. It's www.themanagementshift.com by Professor Vladka Chlupik.
Yep. She's Croatian, I do believe. I do indeed. She's Croatian, I believe.
Okay. I'm sure I said it correctly.
I'm sure you did. League Golf Club have tweeted in to remind listeners that League Golf Club is, in fact, open every day over the holidays apart from Christmas Day. Thank you for that. Oh, you'll like this.
Who is it?
Gullens Law. Gullens Employment, an HR law firm in Maidstone and Gravesend. They've just opened a new branch
in
Gravesend. Yeah. Our New Year's resolution is to get invited back on the Business Bunker show, but this time when Jules Serkin is there.
Oh, yes.
Well, let me tell you, Amanda, one of the problems with that is she has so many holidays that it's very difficult to actually get a date when you can all be here. But we will try, because it would be an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show at any time. And we will try and coordinate that with stopping Jules going on one of her many holidays.
Well, they're generally sort of, you know, research into Prosecco and Carver.
Yeah, research into how many bottles of wine you can drink before lunch.
But I did listen in to them when they were last on. I think I was on the beach in Moira, so, and it was lovely, and I'd love to see you and meet you. So thank you. The Marsh Million have a business loan scheme, and it's funded by Magnox, Kent County Council, Shepway District Council and Ashford Borough Council. And this scheme is offering 0% interest loan, and this is to support small and micro businesses and startups with the potential for growth in the Romney Marsh area. There are a few bits of criteria that you need to be. You need to be a sole trader in a partnership or a limited company or a not-for-profit business based in Ashford or Shepway. You need to be seeking a loan between £2,500 and £50,000, and you need to also currently have less than 50 employees. Also, you need to be providing employment, either creating or safeguarding jobs in the designated areas of Ashford and Shepway. To find out more, it is on the Kent Business Radio website, but you can go on to www.kent.gov.uk with lots of /s and business loans.
Fantastic, thank you. We've had a tweet from Sunil Rupashina, who is a motorist barrister based in Maidstone. Yeah, and he was fascinated by our last guest as well. And he says, remember, folks, you can drink and drive, just not in that order.
I try and work that out, yeah, because you can be over the limit in the morning, can't you?
You can indeed, and it's surprising. It
well,
is really surprising. I can't,
because
I'm teetotal,
but I can.
Other people can. And being teetotal, you have a tendency to notice these things as well.
I know. You can be very bitchy when we go out for lunch about my behaviour.
Yeah, but I'm bitchy about your behaviour no matter what.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay.
Bit picky.
Yeah. There's an online raffle is now up and running, raising funds for Herne Bay Youth Deaf Children's Football Club and Herne Bay Youth Football Club. A huge thank you to all the suppliers who've donated prizes. And if you're able to donate a prize, please let me know, as we will be so grateful. A £5 donation gives you one ticket for the raffle, which will be drawn on the 21st of December at Herne Bay Youth Christmas Party. To find out more about any of this and to get your to donate a raffle prize or to get a raffle ticket, you need to go to the Herne Bay Youth Deaf Children's Football Club Facebook page, which is facebook.com/HBYFC raffle. HBYFC raffle. I will put a link to that Facebook page on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can follow up should you wish to.
The Spice Lounge, who are in Faversham, a lovely Bangladeshi restaurant doing fusion Indian, saying hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin and all the guests enjoying listening in. And come and see us soon in Faversham. So we will trot down. Should have a Business Bunker Christmas party, shouldn't we?
We should indeed. What, just you and me, like?
Well, we've got a few fans.
Have we?
My dog listens in.
Does he?
Wadhurst Marketing Hub. Networking and Christmas quiz with prizes and wine. Come enjoy the Christmas networking and quiz on Wednesday the 3rd of December. This is 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and take the opportunity to meet other people in business in Wadhurst. Where is Wadhurst, Paul Andrews?
East Sussex, Tunbridge Wells area.
So this is the marketing hub, and the website is Wadhurst, W-A-D-H-U-R-S-T, business.co.uk, and the events are all on there.
Cool. I'm going to read one more email, and then we're going to play a bit more tunage, and then we'll talk to our next guest. I've had an email that says, we have reached the Southern Area semi-final of the Johnson's Paint Trophy, and we'll be facing Leighton Orient here at the Men's Priestfield Stadium on Saturday the 6th of December. That's this Saturday, kick-off 3 p.m. We have a great value hospitality packages available for this match at a very special price. A platinum sponsor for 10 people is a measly 750 quid. An executive box, which also holds 10 people, is an even more measly 250 quid. And a champions lounge is £30 per head. For full details of each package, please view our commercial brochure on gillinghamfootballclub.com. And that's from Nick Nicolaou, who is the area sales manager for the Gills. And you can email Nick at nick@priestfield.com. So if you'd like to go and see Gillingham smash Leighton Orient this Saturday, do get along.
And the lovely AK Pet Services, Adrian Kearney, says, I'm listening in and I'm a friend. Christmas party.
There you go. Okay, Adrian.
You, me, Adrian Kearney.
Yeah, yeah. So the three of us can have a party.
Yeah.
That'll be lovely.
Yeah.
Right, do you know what?
Tunish? Is it those twins?
Thompson twins, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, those twins.
Yeah.
Like it. Little accordion. Stomp.
I work on the front line. I work to survive. And I sleep in a fever. This is my life. Cry in my sleep.
Cry boy, cry boy.
Just makes me weep when I try how I try. Know what it means to work hard on machines. It's a labor of love, so please don't ask me why. I'm looking for reasons. Trying too hard.
collaboration. Join in the conversation with hashtag Daily Bread from Mike Waterton.
Jobsinkent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 2nd of December, with me, Paul Andrews, and hers, Jules Sirkin. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our second guest today. She's got the bottle.
Because I forgot my glass.
Well, stop clonking around. She's drinking from a bottle now, listener. No. What is it, vodka? Pachin?
There's a little bit of Pernod, I think. Just yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Oh, she's opened a second bottle now.
So I had the afternoon slump.
Down in one. Yeah. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome our second guest today. Will you stop it?
Carry on.
I'm sorry, Oliver. I'm trying to do a big introduction and she's just ruining it by guzzling. It's an absolute...
Carry on.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Oliver McNeil of Legend Studios, photographer and videographer, to the show. Oliver, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's delightful to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you. And we've got, I've known you for a little while now because I first bumped into you at an event at Bill Skinner Studios.
That's
in
right.
Tenterson a couple of months back.
Was that the lovely jewellery?
It yes. is indeed, yes mm. it is, and Oliver was there doing some video and some photography work, and I kind of walked in and he just snapped me, and it was one of the best pictures I've ever had of me.
Yeah.
And he just went... And
you looked really animated, which is quite unusual.
Yeah, yeah, well, alive, so. Yeah. No, and it was fabulous, and I was really taken, blown away by the photograph that he did. But strangely, we also have something more in common that's just come up recently, as I made reference to earlier. We had Tom Baker, Doctor Who. Actor on the station over the weekend, and of course you know Tom very well, don't you?
Very well indeed. I've been shooting him for nearly 5 years now.
Right, okay, you're shooting him longer than Daleks.
Well, yeah, almost. Yeah. It's lovely actually having him there, and a lot of people still mistake him for John Pertwee. And
yeah.
sort of, but he's a delight, and every year or so I do some new portraits, and I'm very honoured to be able to sort of send them around the world. So
right.
I officially do all his portraits, and they go to Australia and America.
Right.
And as part of the package, I go to his house and film him signing it, and sending a personal message to his fans, because now he's in his 80s.
He can't get around so much.
Not too keen to do that.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Oh no, that's fabulous.
And Daleks. Do you see Daleks?
No Daleks. No Daleks.
He's have one in his front room.
Well, Cyberman. Yeah.
Actually, he does have a very large picture of himself in his front room.
Does he?
That is given him by the Royal Mail.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Because he was on the stamp last year, because the 50th.
Of course.
Oh, right, okay.
And if you're a real Doctor Who fan, it's his 51st anniversary last week. So
okay. anorak.
If you remember back to when it first came out and we were quite young... it was really scary. We used to be really terrified of the Daleks. Do you remember?
Yeah. What was the very first Doctor? William...
Harnell.
Yeah. He was the very first one, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was really high behind the sofa.
Yeah, that was when space was in black and white still, though, wasn't it? Yeah, before the universe went coloured.
Well, they used to be Lost in Space. Do you remember Lost in Space as well?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
do you remember Blake Seven?
Because yes.
I had the actor Paul Darrow come.
Avon.
And actually this year, the chap who played Travis... Who was the guy with the eye patch?
Yeah, the baddie.
He phoned up and said he's going to do his portrait.
Oh, wow.
So I
How's his eye? Is it better now?
He's a very serious guy, but he's a lovely actor, Stephen Grief. Paul, we had down, and I dressed him back up in his outfit, which he hadn't worn for 30 years.
Wow.
Did he still squeeze in?
It was a slightly different outfit, but...
Elasticated waist.
Yes.
Let's not give away secrets. Oh, no, that's fantastic. Let's set the scene a bit more for us, Oliver. Tell us a bit more about exactly what you do, because you do a range of different things, and, because you have your fantasy site. So don't get excited, folks.
I do. No, I'm kind of known for theatrical photography and videography as well now. Mm. I actually studied theatre design. I was a prop maker.
I was
a scenic artist. I worked for the Guild Horse School of Music and Drama.
All right.
And that was the time when Damien Lewis, who was in Homeland, and things like that, was there, and Joseph Fiennes, who went on to do Shakespeare in Love. They all were there. At the time, we didn't know who they were. The year before, they had Ewan McGregor, so it was a good school to be in. Mm. And I was making all the props, and And I don't know if you've been out to the Barbican, where the Guildhall Film Museum is next door to, and they have this small sort of letterbox size entrance where every bit of scenery has to go in and out. So everything was made out of cardboard. We'd have to make these grand walls and bits of scenery in granite walls and then break it all down afterwards. So I learned quite quickly how to make quite impressive scenes on a very small budget.
Right, okay.
Which put me in good stead for what I do now.
Absolutely.
So if you fast forward to 15 years, I started doing photography. I did garden design as well. I did a Chelsea Flower Show garden. Again, that was very sort of low budget. After that, that put me back into sort of working in theatre and design and photography. And because of my first love, which was fantasy, which got me into prop making, which got me in theatre, I brought that back into the whole portrait.
Right.
So now I'm quite well known for doing fantasy photography. Okay. So I have people travel all around.
Okay, we ought to explain fantasy photography,
yes.
I think. I don't even know if I should say this, but my head office is in Maidstone, and we have a fantasy studio behind us. But it is what you think it is.
Okay.
And the local council aren't too pleased at the moment. So we're nowhere near any of that.
No, we're talking more sort of Lord of the Rings.
Right, okay.
Harry Potter, that kind of thing. Although, you know, everything that I do has to be unique.
I can see you working with Kate Bush now. You know, after her tour, I can just see you going there because she would be amazing to work with, wouldn't
absolutely,
she?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm working with some quite interesting people at the moment. Next week I'm going up to London and I'm doing a portrait sitting for an actor called Andy Nyman, who's also a writer, magician, director he does all Darren Brown's
work.
Right, okay.
And also he's just done the Ghost Stories play, which is three terrifying stories. Have you seen it? Have you heard of this?
I've heard his name, but I don't think I've seen.
He's been in Severance, and he's been in a few sort of more culty movies and things.
Okay.
For him, I'm doing a special portrait sitting where I've got to encompass every part of his career into one image that he can use for his Twitter feed.
Wow. No pressure there then.
Well, yeah, luckily I also love magic, so I kind of know what he does. So for this, I'm going to be creating a special book that I'm going to light up inside. So we've got his literary, it's going to be a Shakespearean tomb. And then we're going to have the magic part of him, you know, the lighting up and slightly sort of dark, like, you know, horror lighting, when you put the torch under your face.
Yeah,
you've got
that
kind of, that ghost lighting there.
Yeah.
So that's that other part of his career. And hopefully he'll use it for Twitter and other sort of publicity means. Year before that, I did Paul Daniels, and a similar kind of thing for that.
Right.
So I set up all the different scenes and bits of props that related to his entire past.
Right. Okay.
And he still uses it now, if you have a look at it on his Twitter feed.
Here's your cue. Did he like it? Not a lot.
Okay.
Come on,
I wasn't even going to go there.
Racked his brains in.
Yeah.
So can I just ask, so not only are you a great photographer, amazing from what we've seen, but also you're very skilled with carpentry type stuff then to make the props? Or
well, not really
kind of
carpentry, although I did build my own TARDIS, but that,
actually,
I was more of a mould maker.
Okay, so it's made out of, how do you make these arches and things? Is it
there's lots of different ways to do it. When I first started, with Guildhall, that was all made of cardboard, industrial cardboard.
Right.
And then we used this thing called Idendon, which was like a plasticized plaster, and then we painted it all up. And it's the paint effects and the lighting, and once everything is together, it creates the illusion. And you can also get moulded archways. There's a company, I think it's still going, it's been going years, and they just vacuum press gigantic columns and archways and brick walls and stone walls, and then you paint it all up and it looks amazing, but it's very lightweight and it's very disposable.
So it means you can squash it into, as you said, small doorways, get it in, and then set it up again once you're in.
Well, for my work at the studio, I tend to have a forest setting because it's the most adaptable. You can darken things down. You can have light coming through the trees. You can have you can have wind, you know, rustling around, and you can turn that into a fairy forest, or you can turn it into a wizard's lair, a dragon nest. You know, there's lots of different things you can do with it.
Paul lives in a wizard's lair, don't
you? Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. At the bottom of a cauldron. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's fantastic. I've seen a lot of the work that you've done. Well, not seen. I've seen work that you've done, and I've looked at your website and the fantastic stuff you do. I'm interested in the kind of clients. What kind of clients are most interested in that side of your work, that fantasy work?
On the fantasy side, literally from 2 weeks old all the way up to 80.
Right. Okay.
Every bit in between. Most people have it for a personal reason.
Can you make her a fairy?
Absolutely, yes. Ah, that is the right answer.
Yeah. Funny, because I work with quite a few fairies.
Yeah. Sugar plum fairy.
Oh, that's awful. You're alluding to say I'm robust. And
I didn't say that, did
yeah,
I?
Yeah, that's the sort of thing.
No, I didn't.
Though,
I was thinking
it?
About the coloured thingy you got on.
Thingy?
Which is plum coloured. Anyway, yes.
So, yeah, no, absolutely all types. I had someone buy one for their grandfather, who they call the Wizard.
Right,
so
okay.
They're gonna, he's going to come in, he's in his 70s, and he's going to dress up, and we're going to turn him properly into
fabulous.
Sort of, into Gandalf or something.
Right. Oh, fabulous.
But it's also extremely... it's a huge confidence builder for a lot of people. We've got all the kids who have disabilities, and they come in and maybe they're in a wheelchair, but when they're in the studio, they can be anything they want.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've also had a lot of autistic children come into the studio, and it works brilliantly for them because they're concentrating on props or lights and totally they're not really constantly, you know, worrying about the camera, and that's how I try to shoot for everyone, is to make it fun. It's not about the photography aspect, it's about becoming whatever you want to be.
Because the moment you have a shoot, you tense up. The moment you're going to have your picture taken, one tenses up.
You squinch.
Yeah,
you do. But, I mean, I worked with a young lady in a wheelchair a while back, and she had all these awful press pictures taken where she was rigid in a wheelchair. And I gave her dog, and she immediately just relaxed as soon as the dog was put in her lap. So, you know, we lost that sort of stressy look. And it's the same with you. When you've got your people in their fantasy, they become that person.
That's right. I did a convention this year. I don't remember. About 30 years ago, there was these books called The Fighting Fantasy series. And they were like Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
Got me into reading, to be honest. Actually got me into... to fantasy in the first place, and that took me into all different aspects. And there was this big convention, people from all around the world turned up, and they invited me along to be like the portrait artist, and they thought this would be ideal for our clients, that they'd love this. And I had this one chat, and it was great. I had a little kingdom, and I'd made it into like a tower with a treasure pot and swords and armour and all those kind of things. Quite a few people, yeah, that's great, we'll have that. And they had this one chap from Scotland who came in, and he was, oh, I don't know whether I really want to do it. I'd like the
good
idea.
Accent.
But,
good accent.
I'm a McNeil.
Oh, hi.
I haven't been to Scotland yet. I said, oh, come on, look, no one's looking, just have it done. And he went, okay. And I shot him. Afterwards, he was shaking, and he said, thank you so much, I can't tell you how much that's built my confidence up.
Wow.
Because I would never have my photograph taken normally. And now he uses it for all his pictures, and his friends can go, hey, look, fantastic, cool. You know, so it's nice and rewarding.
Absolutely.
As that part.
I want to move on from that as well, based on exactly the kind of story you were telling there, is because the other part of your business is corporate side.
It is.
Where you do corporate video and increasingly... photo shoots for social media and things like that.
Yes.
And there's an awful lot of people out there that need this. We've seen your profile pictures. Get help immediately. Yeah.
Well, there's two big points to make about the videography and profile pictures. Profile pictures is your first entry into who that business is or who that person represents.
Yeah.
And I learned this from when I was working with actors. because you think, okay, well, you're going to put this in front of a lot of casting agents,
yeah,
and they're going to see thousands of people, and you've got to stand out, and you've got to tell them exactly who you are in that millisecond. And exactly the same for business, especially with something like Twitter. You see lots of faces, flick past, but if you see something, oh, okay, and then you can go in further. And now you've got the little banners, so you can tell a little bit more about that story.
Yeah.
So before they've even read who you are, or read your details, you've hopefully unlayered a few blocks which might have put them off in the first place. Because Twitter is an incredible tool.
Absolutely.
For opening doors to people, I think I've got so much business through it.
Yeah.
And if you're not appealing, and you don't have to be attractive to do that, but if you're not appealing, it's got to be attitude, hasn't it? It is absolutely.
If you're not attractive, at least attitude comes through.
There's an awful lot of
you got away with saying that without her being rude to me. How did you manage?
Who
that?
Was looking at?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. She missed her cue there, didn't she?
But there's an awful lot of business headshots which are solely against a white background with a white shirt, red tie. I'm not thinking
Anything
particular.
Or they do that pose with the hand on the chin, that goes down.
Well, that always looks a bit odd cropped because it looks like it could be anyone's hand rubbing your face.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you think about certainly great corporate figures, I'm not saying they're necessarily great, but you know, Richard Branson, if you think about his headshot, you never see a headshot. He's always standing in front of his product. He's always looking...
Surrounded by women, usually.
But that's his brand, isn't it? Yeah. That's what he's representing. Alan Sugar, he's normally in front of a big office building. You know, you've got the dragons. So, KFC. that kind of idea, but that can be related to anyone, and it's the same process that I put with my actors that I do with the corporate side.
Right.
So I do now the other, and also the like today we've been shooting live, and I also do that for events, which I think is another massive tool which is very, very underused. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the World and Times Winter Fair, Midwinter Fair, and they approached me and said, "Look, could you do some videography?" And I said, "Absolutely, and be delighted to do that." So I was going around all the stalls, and they had about 200 stands. I said, "Okay, I'll film as many people as I can, and we'll do some interviews, and I'll edit it that night, and then you can use that for promoting the next couple of days, so everyone knows what's happening." And at the same time, I lent a camera to a chap with called Sam, and we call it Sam Cam. And I gave him a special card which would go straight onto my phone, then we could live tweet. And again, that's a fantastic
amazing
tool.
Yeah.
So you could, like we
this
have
is what
today.
What we've been doing today.
Yeah, but you can tag people onto it. They can retweet it and retag, you know. And if you're thinking about video, one thing you do with Twitter is you can freeze frame it. You can do captures from that one video. So if I did a 3-minute video of an event, you're going to have about 200, 300, 400 sort of different images that you can tweet up and link people to.
Right.
So visually, that's much more appealing. When you're looking at Twitter, if you see a picture go out, you're more likely to look at it and click on it.
Because a direct video normally has the play buttons in the middle of the video anyway, so you can't see what's in it.
Exactly. You can choose your shot. And then you can put a link in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just one aspect for videography. Because... Are we okay? The other thing is obviously YouTube. If you have a video on there, you can link it and meta tag it and create a title for your business, which is something that they're going to look for. And of course, YouTube is the second biggest search engine in the world, owned by Google. So, for instance, if you sort of put in Hastings taxi firms. I did a shoot for someone recently who was, funnily enough, a Hastings taxi firm. And I said, okay, let's title it Hastings Taxi Firm with the telephone number and their business name. Did a little video for them, a little fun video. And now if you do a search for that, that will come up, first on YouTube, but it will also appear on the front page of Google. Which is, it's really, really underused. And you know, that's why I'm trying to sort of educate people that any business can do that. For instance, if you have a testimonial, it's nice to hear someone talk about how great your business is, isn't a member of the business. This morning, I was up very early down at a cladding company down in Hastings, CEP Cladding, and they asked me to come in and film the different processes of, it's not asbestos, but it's like the old asbestos cladding boards, but it is a much safer version. It uses different type of fiberglass and resins, and they're trying to sell it to the French. And then I think the French want to know how to market it. So they said, can you just film all the process so that we can easily explain what it all is? So I was just going around, the fluid is going in, and the runner's going up, and the press is going down, and bits cutting. That took about 2 hours.
Right.
Now they can use that wherever they want. So again, that's another application for video.
Very interesting, that one, isn't it?
It is very interesting. Sadly, we're fast running out of time. Oh. So, for a moment, Oliver McNeil of Legend Studios, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. There will be links to Oliver's website where you can find out about all these things that he does. I have to tell you, he's a really, really talented photographer.
The website is legend-photography.com.
He tweeted out
amazing.
A picture earlier.
And, I know.
And just think, why can't anybody else take a picture like that?
It is incredible, because I have to say, listener, this studio is the worst place. We get the worst pictures in here because the lighting...
The lighting's all wrong.
It's
horrible.
It's hideous.
Yeah.
And
Jules takes up most of the room. And,
I do, with all my bottles. But it's just... And your feet, of course, take
up. Yeah, of course.
You know, your winkle pickers. But, I mean, the lighting in here, we've got the light coming in here and we've got the curtain there, hideous. Mm. And you somehow have made it look great.
Fabulous. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Oliver, thank you so much for joining us. Do stay for the last remaining 1 or 2 minutes of the show. But Oliver McNeil of Legend Studios, a legend.
Thank you.
Yes.
We've had a tweet from Treat My Doggy.
Oh.
Listen to the Business Bunker Show. We offer dog clothing boutique, accessories, dog treats, recipes and more.
Clothing boutique?
Yeah. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Treat My Doggy. So thank you for that. So if you need some clothes for your dog, they're your people. Maharaja Herm Bay. Hi, Vanilla Web. Please give us a Christmas countdown shout out on the Business Bunker. We're a restaurant in Herm Bay.
Oh, hello.
There you go.
They're
Maharaja Herm Bay.
They're at the bandstand.
Are they? Mm. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Maharaja Herm Bay. Is their Twitter handle?
Big Bridge Media, new followers, hello. They're currently at a client's in central London working on a financial video. I think they've come on the following Oliver, actually, and they've just cottoned on to us as well.
Right, OK.
But they can listen again on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
You can indeed.
We've gone quiet.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up with all the tweets. There's just so many of them, and I can't catch up with them all. I've got loads of emails to read, and not much chance.
Kent
not much
Parent
time.
Carer Forum, United Listening Influencing, SEN and Disabilities Information Day. What's an SEN? Does anybody know?
Special Educational Needs.
Thank you. It's Monday the 26th of January. This must be next year. 10 to 3 p.m. at the Woodville Halls in Gravesend, that's in the theatre there, for parents, carers and families of all children with disabilities or additional needs. There are going to be over 30 information stands available with a wide range of support services, professionals and organisations representing a range of disabilities and needs locally and nationally. There'll be an opening speech by Julie Eli, who is head of SEN Kent County Council, on the progress of SEN schools in Kent. There will also be Mayor John Caller and Mayoress Sue Caller. And there'll also be Contact a Family hosting a coping support web workshop. And the guest is Adam Holloway, the MP. And there'll also be a walk tour drama showcase, free entry. Now, for more information on this, go to www.kpforpetercffreddy.co.uk.
Cool, thank you. I had a tweet from Amy at AM Marketing. She says, Vanilla Web, Jewel Cirkin, Business Bunker, Legend Studios, love it.
Oh, the photo, she loved the photo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So fantastic, thank you for that. And Tenterton Day Centre have said, it's Giving Tuesday. Can we all encourage everyone to give something back today? So thank you, Tenterton Care Day Centre, for that. And also, just while I remember, it's Small Business Saturday, this Saturday, the 6th of December. Shop locally, otherwise we'll come round and break your legs.
Basically, shop locally every day if you can.
Otherwise, I'll send Jules around. Yeah. And she's not happy when she's...
I've already had two broken legs and a broken foot.
I know you have. Small digital service firms. You've got a shop coming. Because you're probably unaware of the changes to the VAT rules. Almost two-thirds of UK small firms providing digital services such as apps and e-books to consumers in other EU member states are unaware of the impending VAT rule change that takes effect on the 1st of January 2015. Okay, the new rule makes their supplies subject to VAT in the consumer's home country. Yeah, talk about red tape. Yeah. Rather than in the UK, which is currently the case. Oh, that's a good idea from the politicians. Let's kill a few more 100,000 small businesses. This lack of awareness is revealed by a survey of digital service providers carried out by KPMG. The majority, 75% of respondents, would have to consider increasing their prices by up to 5% to compensate for the additional costs of complying with the new regulations. And more than one in five would consider no longer supplying to other EU member states because of the complexity. So those rules, those VAT rules, come into effect on the 1st of January 2015. So I do suggest you go to HMRC website and check them out and see how they apply to you, and more importantly, what you've got to do to comply with them. There's also some proposed changes to business rates, which could actually benefit small businesses. Local authorities could have greater flexibility to offer business rate discounts to small local firms under a proposal put to the Chancellor by the Local Government Association in November of this year. Business rates are currently set by central government. I don't think people always realise that either. And the money goes back to central government too. Meaning local authorities' ability to offer local discounts is restricted. Under the Local Government Association proposal, all responsibility for setting and collecting business rates would lie with local authorities, allowing greater flexibility for local authorities to offer reduced rates to local high street firms, new startups, and firms that use exclusively local suppliers. If the proposal goes ahead, local authorities will also be able to link business rates to turnover, including that from e-commerce, to create more fairness between the high street and online retailers, and to encourage new startups to trade on the high street. So look out for that and see if it actually does get implemented, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
I wouldn't.
We got loads of tweets, we got loads more emails, and we're fast running out of time, so I'm going to gabble through some of these, I'm afraid. Sorry. Alternative finance is doubling year on year. Alternative finance, such as funding provided by crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending, is doubling annually in the UK, according to figures published by Nesta in the UK Alternative Finance Industry Report. The amount of funding provided by the alternative finance sector grew by 150% from £267 million in 2012 to £666 million in 2013, and is projected to grow by a further 161% to reach £1.74 billion by the end of 2014, i.e. in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. It's expected that the UK alternative finance sector will have provided funding to 7,180 small and medium-sized firms by the end of 2014, equating to taking out more than 2.5% of bank lending to businesses. Alternative finance has resulted in many small and medium-sized firms, charities and community organisations being able to raise finance which they may otherwise have been unable to secure. So do check that out. There's quite a few platforms, Funding Circle, Cube, Invest and Fund, lots of them with slightly different formats depending on what you're trying to do, Kickstarter. But they're a great source of alternative finance, so do look into that. I have to say, no, I won't tell you. I'll tell you some other time.
Tell me now.
Now, I'm on the regional board of the Bank of England, and have been for a number of years, and we have a quarterly meeting where we discuss the economic situation. And for years and years and years, everybody moaned about bank lending. And for the last three, nobody moaned about it. So the chief economist who chairs the meeting said, why have you all stopped moaning about it? And we all went, because we found a different place to get our funding. And he said, we'll have to look at the regulations. And to a man and woman round the table, everyone went, no, don't touch it. Go away. Leave it alone. You already messed up with the banks. We don't need you messing up with this as well. Of course, it needs some regulation because you can't have the Wild West out there. But we don't want too heavy a hand on it, because at the moment, alternative peer-to-peer lending is working. So don't mess it up.
Well said.
Ken Invicta Chamber annual networking Christmas lunch is due to take place next Tuesday, the 9th of December, from 12 to 2:30 at Chilston Park Hotel, just around the corner from you, Paul. Join us at the Ken Invicta Chamber Christmas luncheon at the elegant Chilston Park Hotel. This will be an excellent opportunity for you to entertain both clients, staff and partners, as well as network with existing members in a relaxing and welcoming atmosphere. It's a poultry £24.50.
I love poultry.
Poultry, yes.
Yeah, especially at Christmas
turkey
lunch.
And duck. It's a poultry £24.50 plus VAT for members to go to the dinner. And if you'd like to book your tickets, go to their website, which is kentinvictorchamber.co.uk, and book your tickets.
Big Bridge Media with a client filming, but they've managed to hear a snippet, so hello to them. And also Treat My Doggy have said, oh, hey, thanks for the mention, loving the show.
Thank you.
Big thanks to our sponsor of the week.
Yes, People Face to Face, the lovely Trish Stratton. People Face to Face, the leadership, teamwork and personal coaching organisation. But we've reached the end of the show, unfortunately. I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to our two studio guests, Mr.
Three.
Paul Bax. We've got the lovely Sally McDonald, who's
the
marketing manager. Yes. But she didn't say anything.
She didn't get a word in,
She didn't get a word in, but she might get in right at the end. Sally from Chaucer Direct, but of course, Mr. Paul Baxter, who's the head of Chaucer Direct, and Oliver McNeil of Legend Studios. Thank you all for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here and to hear your various stories and to excite and intrigue and inform us about what you guys do. And that's really great. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the listeners out there who joined us. You will be able to listen again later on and download the podcast at the Kent Business Radio website. Coming up on Channel Radio, we have at 3 o'clock, Mr. Kevin Cann with the Extra Milk Show. At 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, the famous, the world-famous, Mr. Craig Avery, DJ.
Another Whitstabillian.
And he's just moved to Whitstable for the first time, yeah.
There's a queue forming outside for him already, lots of ladies.
Absolutely, with his stripy socks, so Craig will be on at 5 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, we have Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands.
And possibly a baby.
And possibly a baby, because Jonathan's good lady wife has just given birth. And that's the boys down the pub. Phil and Jonathan will be with you at 7 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, 18 hand-picked, lovingly chosen new music, unplayed tracks, presented on the New Potato Show by Mr. Jamie Andrews. You've been listening to me, Paul, and heard Jules Sirkin on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.